This is Dr. Robert G. Gish presenting the Hepatitis Web Study, Hepatitis C Online, Treatment of Hepatitis C Patients with Renal Insufficiency. This is being updated as of July 1st, 2015. Our relevant disclosures are displayed on slide 2, Treatment of Hepatitis C in Patients with Renal Insufficiency. We'll go over the background and staging of renal disease, treatment with interferon-based regimens, treatment with DAA, direct-acting antiviral agents. We'll discuss hepatitis C and renal transplantation. We will close with a summary. Treatment of hepatitis C in patients with renal insufficiency. Background and staging of renal disease. Hepatitis C treatment issues related to renal disease. Hepatitis C may be associated with or cause renal disease directly. Treatment of hepatitis C and renal disease must take into account the issue of chronic renal insufficiency. We'd like to prevent hepatitis C causing renal disease or being involved with progressive renal disease. We would like to treat pre- or post-renal transplantation to preserve, improve renal function before kidney transplant, and improve renal function and graft survival after kidney transplant. Epidemiology of hepatitis C in patients on hemodialysis. In the U.S., the estimated hepatitis C prevalence of 8% is noted. This is approximately 400,000 persons on hemodialysis. 8% of that number is going to be in the 35,000 range. Hepatitis C prevalence is 5 times greater in hemodialysis patients than in the general U.S. population. Risk factors for hepatitis C infection among hemodialysis patients includes the number of years on dialysis, number of blood product transfusions, injection drug use, and history of organ transplantation. Natural history of hepatitis C in hemodialysis patients. The impact of hepatitis C on hemodialysis patients includes increased overall risk of mortality, increased risk of cirrhosis, and increased risk of hepatocellular cancer. Hepatitis C and renal disease. Hepatitis C is a direct cause of renal disease. Hepatitis C in patients with advanced liver failure increases risk for renal disease. Chronic hepatitis C infection has been associated with an increased risk of renal cell carcinoma. Chronic hepatitis C infection accelerates renal disease in hepatitis C infected patients. Hepatitis C and renal disease is tied together by the presence of immune complex disorders. These immune complex diseases include mixed cryoglobulinemia, usually marked by a positive rheumatoid factor. This is an inexpensive and sensitive and highly specific screening test. Once that rheumatoid factor is positive, you can reflex to qualitative or quantitative cryoglobulins. These are typically type 2 cryoglobulins through a competent lab that uses the appropriate protocol. You can also assess for complement. If you don't trust your lab to assess for cryoglobulins, complement levels will indicate active immune complex disease if either C3, C4, or total complement is low. This immune complex disease is often manifested by glomerulonephritis, most commonly MPGN, but other types of glomerulonephritis are also associated with hepatitis C and its concomitant immune complex disease. Rarely in hepatitis C patients, we can see polyarteritis nodosa, or PAN. Uncommonly, hepatitis C is associated with other glomerular disease, such as focal segmental glomerular sclerosis, proliferative glomerulonephritis, membranous glomerulonephritis, or fibrillary and immunotactoid glomerulopathies. This slide outlines the stages of chronic kidney disease. Along the left column, CKD stage 1 through 5, middle column description with changes in GFR qualitatively. On the right, the GFR in milliliters per minute. Treatment of hepatitis C in patients with renal insufficiency. There's a historical perspective we'll show here briefly about experience with interferon-based therapies. interferon monotherapy for hemodialysis patients with chronic hepatitis C. This is an analysis of the literature on efficacy, or SVR. Interferon monotherapy for hemodialysis patients with chronic hepatitis C shows a highly varied SVR rate that can be as low as 19% or as high as 68%. This is using interferon alpha-2B, that is Roche's product, Pegasus, alpha-2A, not shown here, is the product made by Schering or Intron A. This is monotherapy, 3 million units, 3 times a week. Most of these studies are over 1 to 1.5 decades old. We're now going to move to pegylated interferon plus ribavirin in the hemodialysis population. This is a meta-analysis of the literature concerning efficacy or SVR rates. SVR rates between 54 and 86% have been looked at between cohort and controlled studies, with similar results between PEG interferon alpha-2A and alpha-2B. Here we'll look briefly at a study by Liu in Annals of Internal Medicine in 2013 comparing PEG alpha-2A with ribavirin versus PEG alpha-2A alone. 48 weeks looking at SVR 24. PEG alpha-2A was dosed at 135 micrograms per week. Low-dose ribavirin, as per package insert, at 200 milligrams once per day. Pegylated interferon alpha-2A is under the brand name of Pegasus. Pegylated interferon alpha-2B is under the name of Intron A, made by Schering. PEG interferon plus or minus low-dose ribavirin, hepatitis C, genotype 1 patients on hemodialysis. Data on this slide shows the results of the Helper 1 study. Virologic response with SVR showing a doubling of SVR or decreasing of relapse rates using PEG interferon plus ribavirin. Interestingly, rapid virologic response was higher in the PEG plus ribavirin group. End of treatment response was almost the same, but with this marked difference in SVR 24, you're looking at relapse rates as being much higher, noting that ribavirin decreases relapse rates in this population, as was shown in the original licensing trials. Controversies with ribavirin use in advanced renal disease, that it says not recommended in Ribitol and Ribosphere package inserts, but it is permitted using Copagus, also highlighted that this is allowed among the guidelines, or guided or recommended among the guidelines shown by AASLD, IDSA, IAS, USA. Now let's look at treatment of hepatitis C in patients with renal insufficiency experience with DAA, direct-acting antiviral agents. Treatment of hepatitis C in patients with renal disease. Possible options include sofosbuvir plus ribavirin, cimeprevir plus sofosbuvir, POD regimen, including ritonavir-boosted paratapravir, ladipasvir, sofosbuvir as a pangenotypic regimen, sofosbuvir plus diclatasvir. Sofosbuvir pharmacokinetics in HCV negative patients with renal impairment show an increase in sofosbuvir, AUC, and the metabolite, active metabolite of sofosbuvir, GS331007 AUC. Again, GS331007 AUC. There's marked accumulation of this GS007 metabolite in renal insufficiency, especially those patients with end-stage renal disease on hemodialysis. Toxicity from this accumulation has not yet been published. Here we're looking at cimeprevir pharmacokinetics in severe renal impairment. There is an increase in both peak blood levels and AUC compared to matched healthy controls. HCV target trial results, specifically the study design and features, are highlighted on this slide. These are adults with genotype 1 through 6, treatment naive or treatment experienced, included patients with baseline renal insufficiency, and patients with cirrhosis. This took place in US, Germany, and Canada with over 56 real-life clinical setting. Sofosbuvir-containing regimens in patients with renal disease are shown here as target results, SVR12, allocated by baseline estimated GFR. SVR rates were similar across all cohorts with all estimated GFR, glomerular filtration rates. Very high SVR rates, over 80%. Here's some more detail from that target results, looking at what combination was used in this target real-life setting. Sof riba in dark blue is showing ranges from 73 to 100%. Interestingly, sof sim, which is going to be used predominantly in genotype 1, is showing results from 80 to 87%. Sof sim riba showing results from 79 to 100%. These are very good results, with the lowest result being in the soft peg riba in the mid-range. Although this was only 3 patients, it's probably too small of an arm or the study to discuss or emphasize. We're now going to change to the POD regimen. This is the 3D with both a PI, NS5A, and non-nuke polymerase inhibitor, genotype 1, renal disease, RUBY-1. This is a phase 3B randomized, open-label study looking at safety and efficacy, looking at with or without ribavirin, 12 weeks of treatment in treatment-naive genotype 1 patients with advanced renal disease. 9 sites, adults, GFR either less than 30 or hemodialysis, viral load at baseline over 1,000 IUs. No cirrhosis was allowed, and no co-infection was allowed, and patients had to have a reasonable baseline hemoglobin. Primary endpoint, of course, was SVR12. Design here is characterized in the top line with genotype 1A with POD plus ribavirin, bottom group POD without ribavirin for genotype 1A and 1B, respectively. Here are the SVR results, 100% across all patient groups, although the numbers are small. This is encouraging. The package insert for the POD regimen states that no dose adjustment is required in patients with renal insufficiency or renal failure. AASLD IDSAIAS guidelines 2015 highlight hepatitis C treatment recommendations. Dosage adjustments for patients with mild to moderate renal impairment state that sofosbuvir, no dose adjustment required, simeprevir, no dose adjustment required, lead sof, no dose adjustment required, POD, no dose adjustment required. Below a GFR or creatinine clearance of 30 mL per minute, treatment can be discussed after consultation with an expert because safety and efficacy data are not available for these patients. The POD package insert, Vicara package insert, states that no dose adjustments are required for patients with renal insufficiency or on hemodialysis. Treatment of hepatitis C in patients with renal insufficiency, now focusing on renal transplantation. The impact of hepatitis C on outcome in renal transplantation includes increasing risk of glomerulonephritis in transplanted kidneys. HCV reduces renal allograft survival. HCV decreases long-term patient survival. Hepatitis C infection is not a contraindication to renal transplantation unless portal hypertension is present or there is decompensated liver disease, since patient survival with renal transplantation is better than patients remaining on hemodialysis. What is happening in the clinical setting today is that many patients are recommended to be treated while awaiting kidney transplantation, with some kidney transplant centers recommending waiting for kidney transplantation until hepatitis C is cured. After kidney transplantation, many centers are treating all patients with hepatitis C without specific regard to their liver disease fibrosis status because of the hepatitis C impact on both patient and kidney graft survival. Relative risk of death among patients undergoing renal transplantation versus those who remained on dialysis. This highlights that kidney transplantation remains standard of care for patients on dialysis because of improved long-term survival. Hepatitis C and renal disease. Rationale for hepatitis C treatment and renal transplant candidates is highlighted on this slide. To eradicate hepatitis C, to decrease the immune stimulus to B cells, so decrease immune complexes and impact vasculitis or glomerulonephritis. Decrease extrahepatic hepatitis C-related complications. Prevent hepatitis C-related post-transplant complications, interactions with hepatitis C immune complexes and calcineurin inhibitors will enhance those CNI-related renal toxicity because of this interaction. Hepatitis C-related liver disease may accelerate with post-renal transplant immune suppression. Post-transplant treatment sometimes is difficult due to risk of graft rejection if interferon is used. I'd like to highlight this is historical, and rarely is interferon being used today after kidney transplantation due to the advent of DAAs and emerging treatment data and dosing data. Interferon-based therapies for the treatment of hepatitis C after renal transplantation has a relative contraindication due to the risk of allograft rejection and accelerated graft loss. Post-transplant interferon and ribavirin could be considered in the severe cases of fibrosing cholestatic hepatitis if DAAs such as Declatosphere compassionate use is not available. Once Declatosphere is approved, this will enter into our treatment algorithms. Life-threatening vasculitis would be a contraindication for immune complex disease except in life-threatening vasculitis. In this setting, one may consider steroids first, plasmapheresis second, rituximab third, and then consider interferon-ribavirin therapy if DAAs are not available. Interferon-free regimens across multiple treatment options would be considered. On-label POD does not have to be dose-adjusted for renal insufficiency, but there are drug-drug interactions between paratopravir and ritonavir through the CYP3A4 system or cytochrome systems, which may increase the level of post-kidney transplant of medications such as tacrolimus or cyclosporin. More considerations of treatment of hepatitis C post-renal transplant. Renal function is less problematic in most patients because they're having improving renal function with their new kidney graft. Dosing of cyclosporin and tacrolimus can affect GFR and drug levels, of course, and may interact with components of some of the DAAs that have interactions with the cytochrome P450 system. There may be a history of rejection or residual renal damage that needs to be taken into consideration for hepatitis C treatment after kidney transplantation. Make sure you address all drug-drug interactions on each medication and drug class. Higher HCV RNA levels due to immunosuppression may impact SVR rates. There's no effective therapy yet published in controlled trials after kidney transplantation. Treatment of hepatitis C in patients with renal insufficiency. Summary and recommendations. Treatment of hepatitis C in patients with renal insufficiency. Summary points. renal disease severity should guide treatment decisions. Do full GFR creatinine clearance assessments. Interferon and PEG interferon-based treatment are of historical importance only, and it's extremely rare that interferon or PEG interferon would be used today where DAAs are available. Maximize EPO use when using ribavirin in this patient population. Typically, patients are on 200 milligrams three times a week or 200 milligrams daily. First-generation hep C protease inhibitors are not recommended due to the risk of both renal toxicity and unknown blood level adjustments or dosing adjustments in the setting of renal insufficiency. No dose adjustments with DAAs of GFR greater than 30 mL per minute are advised. There's limited data with DAAs in patients with GFR less than 30 mL per minute. Package insert for Vicara or the POD regimen states no dose adjustments are advised since the three or four components of the Vicara package are hepatically metabolized. Obtain expert consultations. Obtain expert consultations if GFR is less than 30 mL per minute, especially HD patients, for managing those patients with hepatitis C in that clinical setting. Renal transplant candidates should receive HCV treatment with DAAs in this special setting with expert guidance and advice, either before or after kidney transplantation, depending on the specific clinical scenario. I would like to thank the organizers, the CDC, the University of Washington, and the support you have provided for the Hepatitis C web study program. This is under the auspices of the University of Washington and their Hepatitis C education and training program.